Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
We're back in Matthew 6 today in the worrying form of anxiety. I told you before there's a lot of different kinds of anxiety, and one of them is worry. Today we're going to talk about how to deal with worry over provision or money. If you're worried about money, how are you going to pay your bills? What about retirement? What about if you might lose your job? You don't know how you're going to pay your mortgage, whatever it is. This is one of the commonest forms of worry, which is why Jesus addressed it directly in Matthew 6. And he teaches us a principle today that is a tremendous help for any kind of worry for provision. So let's jump right in. Worry is a tremendous spiritual problem, and so Jesus commands three times in this section, do not worry. Verse 25, therefore, don't worry about your life. Verse 31, so do not worry. Verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. So it's not hard to see what he's getting at here. Don't worry. And you can tell how important this is to Jesus by his style. He really slows the pace down here. This section of Matthew 6 just stands out like a sore thumb in the whole Sermon on the Mount. It's a different style. Everything else in the Sermon on the Mount is so brief and concise, even proverbial. Jesus just states it, moves on, and moves the next thing, new topic, new topic, new topic, and he just goes really fast from topic to topic. In fact, Jesus' entire teaching on divorce and remarriage in the Sermon on the Mount, two verses. He's just going fast from topic to topic, but then when he hits the subject of anxiety and worry, he slows way down, switches to a whole other style, and he has lots of illustrations and just fills it out with explanation. He really wants us to get this. The word translated worry, it's a very broad term, covers all kinds of anxiety. It can refer to worrying about the future. It can refer to fretting about your current situation right now, here and now, in the present. In fact, it even includes the idea of just being distracted with stuff. It's the word that Jesus used when he told Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about so many things. Only one thing is needed in Luke 10. Now that word, worry, is the same word. He said you're just caught up with all the peripheral issues of getting the meal together and all that, and you're distracted from the one important thing. So it's not so much that she was worried, she was just distracted. There are people who, they're not worried about the future, they're not afraid of what's going to happen, they're not really stressed out about the present, but they're just plagued with distraction about earthly, temporal concerns. They're just distracted. They're not afraid of anything, anxious about anything. Their lives are just so invested in this world that they can't pray or study God's Word or think on things above for 10 minutes without their minds running off into thinking about money or food or the car or the house or some health issue or work or sports or some other trivia that is just nowhere near as important as the thing it's distracting them from. So whether it's worry about the future or anxiety about the present or just distraction because of earthly concerns, whatever it is, Jesus commands us three times, dump it. Just dump it. Get rid of anxiety. But he doesn't just tell us to get rid of anxiety. He tells us how, thankfully. Jesus knows. It's not just a matter of, you know, you flip the switch off and no more worry. It's hard to overcome anxiety. And so, thankfully, Jesus gives us several very powerful principles in this text for how to overcome anxiety. And first one is in verse 25. Look at Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not the soul greater than food, and the body greater than clothes? What does that mean? You shouldn't worry because the soul and body are greater than food and clothes? What on earth is that? How does that follow? What is the logic here? If you say this to a worrier, he's going to say, well, I know that the soul and the body are greater than food and clothes, but I'm still worried. I mean, I still need food and clothes, and if I'm not going to get them, then I'm worried about that. So how does this help me? How does the greatness of the human body and soul help me overcome worry? Well, it doesn't. Unless you realize something that Jesus leaves implied here, and that is, where did you get your body and soul? Why do you have them? Didn't they come from God as a gift? He gave you a soul and a body. That implies that He's going to maintain that soul and body. I think that's the logic here. If He gave you a soul and body, He's going to give you whatever the soul and body needs. The principle is, the greater gift always implies the lesser gift. And you see that principle many times in Scripture. Remember Romans 8, 32, He who did not withhold His own Son, how will He not also give us all things? All things is a lesser thing. If He gives you His Son, He'll certainly... If He gives you the greater thing, He's going to give you the lesser thing. The greater gift implies the lesser gift. You're a little kid and your dad spends $200 on a remote control car for your birthday and he presents it to you. Do you think he's going to begrudge you the batteries? If you find out, okay, it takes a AA battery, is your dad going to say, well, too bad, you can never play with that toy because... I'm not about to spring for a battery. Of course not. That's ridiculous. Why would you, if he didn't want you to be able to play with it, why would he have spent $200 on the car in the first place? The greater gift implies the lesser gift. If a man buys his wife a $20,000 diamond ring, and the next day he comes home in the room and there she is crying and weeping and sobbing and everything and she's all upset and he says, what's wrong? And she says, well, the ring is too big, and if I get it sized, it's going to cost $18, and I don't know where I'm going to get the $18 to get it sized. Well, what's he going to say? Do you think I'm going to buy you a $20,000 ring and let it go to waste so that I can save $18? The greater gift implies the lesser gift. If somebody gives you the greater gift of the ring, they're not going to begrudge you the smaller gift of the sizing. And if somebody gives you the greater gift of the remote control car, they're not going to begrudge you the smaller gift of the AA battery. And if somebody gives you the greater gift of a soul and a body, they're certainly not going to begrudge you the little thing of food and clothes. That's the logic. You see, there's a reason you have a soul and a body. There's a reason you're here. And that reason is bigger than just eating. God didn't just create us to be eating machines like animals or mannequins, just something to put clothes on. And so, if your focus is on clothes and food, then your focus is not on what it should be on, and that is your reason for being here. That's why Jesus says, don't worry about clothes and food, because your life is more than that. You're here for something way bigger than just eating and getting dressed. Those things are just ancillary things that will enable you to do the thing that you're here for, your task. So why focus on the lesser things? Imagine the President of the United States came to you and appointed you ambassador of the United States to Egypt. You're the ambassador to Egypt. And he gives you a specific assignment. He says, I want you to go to Egypt and I want you to give them this message. I want you to tell them this and I want you to persuade them to do this and this and that and that. And I want you to get all that done. And you have 1 week to prepare, then you're going to Egypt. And so, end of the week comes and the president comes to you and asks you, okay, so just tell me, what's your approach going to be? How are you going to do this? What's your strategy? What are you going to say exactly? And you say, honestly, I haven't had a chance to think about that yet. And he says, what? You haven't thought about it. What have you been doing all week? And you say, well, you know, my thoughts have been consumed with travel. How am I going to get to Egypt? You know, I got to make travel plans. And you know how things can be this time of year. I name my own price on Priceline.com. And I'm, you know, it's kind of high. And I just don't know if it's going to work out. They got me in an aisle and I like a window. And, you know, that's not very good. What's he going to say to you? He's going to say, look, stop worrying about the flight and worry about your task. I'll get you to Egypt. Don't worry about getting to Egypt. I'll get you to Egypt. You were concerned yourself with the job that I assigned to you. I mean, if you're looking at this whole thing like if the whole point of it is the flight, that's the very small part of it. I'll get you there. The point of it is the mission. You focus on the mission. Let me worry about the flight. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you worry about the mission, you let me worry about the details. What you need. Don't live as though the physical needs are the focus of your mission. They're not. If you're working to pay your bills, you're focusing on trivia. Now, there are some things that are your responsibility. I mean, on the day of the flight, you gotta set your alarm, you gotta get yourself out of bed, you gotta get dressed, you gotta get to the plane and, you know, in time for departure, all that. The president isn't gonna do any of that for you, you gotta do that stuff. So give those things as much attention as those things require, but no more. Focus on the mission. So, principle number one, don't worry about provisions in this life because that is trivia. It's trivia, it's small. It's the small stuff. Compared to your reason for being here.
Today I want to urge you to make a list of the things you tend to worry about or that you're likely to worry about in the next few months. Once you've written that list down, think through each item on the list. What is needed for you to do God's will with regard to that item? What do you need in order to carry out His will? Look at each item and remind yourself, if I truly need that, God has promised He will supply it. If He doesn't supply it, I don't need it. Tell yourself that for each item on the list.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Maybe there's someone in your network who would enjoy these podcasts. You never know how posting a link on Facebook might change someone's day or their whole life. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.